This is HNN.
Good evening. This is HNN, the Holotable News Network. If this is your not even remotely close to around-the-clock Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes news, reactions, review, theory crafting, and more source. I am Pico Bridio, your host, and today I'm joined by the wonderful Celiac Sarah. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I love my children, but they keep bringing the sickness and disease into this house, and I'm about done with it at this point.
That's a thing. So,
it is. It really is.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you have a rough road ahead of you for the next few years.
Yeah.
Licking doorknobs and just putting their hands on everything. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We dropped I dropped a piece of toast today that I had made for him.
Yeah.
And it didn't land on the ground. It landed like in a bowl that was on the ground because I gave him stainless steel bowls to play with so he wouldn't go after the dogs.
Yeah.
So it was like fairly clean, but like it'd been on the ground for a couple of days. And I was like, this is good enough. This is good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine.
Look, it's fine.
I've seen where your hands are most days. And then I see when you stick your hand in your mouth. So we're just going to run with this. It's
exactly. Fine. I was like, this is okay.
Yeah. Yeah. we were never like sanitize everything parents. My wife more than me, but it's not worth it. It's not worth the effort and the hassle.
He was eating a dog toy today, so yes. we're going great.
Well, and again, it doesn't get any better. Evan came home from a soccer game at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. They didn't have school on Monday, and at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, I'm like, have you taken a shower, let alone got out of the pajamas you put on when you got out of your soccer game? No. Go shower now. All right. Oh. We shower daily, 13-year-old. That's gross. Oh. So they don't ever grow out of it.
Yummy.
Oh, well. We have stuff. Like we have a lot of new things.
I know. I was shocked. Absolutely shocked that they put the road ahead out on Friday.
I was as well. They used to do that on Fridays a lot. We used to get the road ahead on Friday, and it would be something to chat about all weekend. I liked it, but yeah, it was a little surprising.
Yeah, I like when I can know what days to expect the news on, because then like a really pathetic human, I can schedule my social events around that, so I'm not available at that time because I'm anticipating news. And when there's you go rogue, I can't react.
This is why we strive for consistency, so we know when these things are going to happen. So
correct.
Ugh.
There. I don't even know like where do we want to start, because there is. There's that. There's a kit. We've got a lot.
Do we start with the road ahead? Because I think it's going to roll into the kit.
I think, yeah, that probably makes sense.
Okay.
And there's a ton to unpack.
There is. There's a ton to... It's one of those weird cases that I think that there actually is a lot in there, but we're missing a lot of, like, the fine details of, like, the order when we're going to see them released or when we should expect to see things. Although I think we're speculating a little bit on this, but
yeah, I think we can make some solid educated guesses.
Yes. Yes. I guess, should we start with the one that came into the game today?
Yeah, we might as well.
I mean, it was the feature that everyone was asking for.
I know I was.
At least according to the patch notes, we got gifting, but just not gifting, guild gifting.
Yeah.
So you now have the ability to buy packs for your guild mates and give them to them.
Right. And I think it's like select packs. I don't know. I haven't actually looked at it too in depth yet. If it is all of the packs that are available in the store or just select ones.
I looked today and I think it's actually all of the packs that are currently in the game right now.
What is interesting is the Lightspeed bundles are back.
Yes. I guess because I wouldn't see them. I
Right.
saw them in the guild gifting section.
Yes.
I
They're
didn't see.
only in the
Okay.
guild gifting section.
So even if you don't have the characters at the right relic level, so like if you could take advantage of it, you would not see the lightspeed bundles.
Correct. I
Interesting.
wasn't seeing it, and I know that there are a couple that I saw, a couple of the Ray ones that I saw that I didn't buy.
Okay.
And I'm not seeing them. I am, however, getting pop-ups for them.
Interesting. And they are time bound. So they
And
are
they are,
here only for
sorry.
another week. They are here only for another week.
Yeah. What is also really interesting is you can't gift them to people who already have the characters at that. Like, if you weren't able to buy it for yourself, you can't
Yep.
gift it to that person, or if they've already bought it in the past.
So that's, man, that's a really expensive trial for somebody. Like if so for someone to figure that out, they must have gone in and tried to gift the bundle to someone.
Yeah,
And the
it's just blocked out. You can't
okay,
like
got it.
there you
Okay.
can't even select that person.
Okay.
Yeah, so
What was super interesting to me was so the relic bundles that are in there. So they're available for the next 6 days. Typically, the relic bundles, when they go into the game for individuals, you can buy them twice. So, like the relic, you know, if you wanted to do the relic 7 to 8 upgrade, which is really just to take you from levels 7 to 8, you could buy that twice at whatever the price is. They are now uncapped.
oh, the ones that
Now,
include like the character shards.
no, so like I didn't look at the ones that were, well, no, I didn't look at the character. So the character shard ones, actually, I take that back, are not in the gift group. So like I'm looking at the relic bundle 7 or 5 that has 10 keypads, 10 droid brains,
Okay.
10. So that you could typically only buy twice. And they come around like once every 3 months. They are now uncapped in both the regular store and the gifting store. Which my so if you wanted to take it like right now, if I wanted to, I could finish Project 1989 by just buying these packs for all of the remaining characters. If I wanted to do it at $50 a pack, which I do not want to do by any means whatsoever. So why I think that's the case is they don't want to limit my ability. It's the same pack
Right.
that I can buy on my own that I can give to someone else. So they don't want to limit my ability to gift to my entire guild.
Because why stop at just
Yeah,
one?
yeah. So, but that is, to me, that's super interesting that they're effectively giving you uncapped access to some of these packs now.
Which is crazy.
It's insane. Yeah,
I
if you can afford it,
wonder.
more power to you.
I wonder if they had to remove the cap on them because of guild gifting.
Possible. It's possible, especially if they want to do the
Because
shared pack. Yeah.
like theoretically you could buy those two for yourself, like you were saying, and now I
Yep.
can't gift it to you.
Yep. I
And
also think it, yeah.
I also just real quick opened the game because I wanted to look at the pack that you were
Yeah.
talking about. And I got a pop-up for the Jedi Training Ray Lightspeed
Okay.
bundle. Clicked on it, takes me to the regular store, not the guild gifting store. Does not have the pack there for me to buy, but it has it in the guild gifting store for me to gift to others.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know if that is intentional with those bundles per se, or if that's a glitch, but that's what it is for I guess the next week while they're here.
Yeah, it's
Ow!
I
Sorry.
do
I'm getting bit in case you
Yes,
can't
I have teeth now.
tell.
The last thing on this, and I do think it the fact that they're on cap does fix a potential loophole in that. In theory, I would be able to, if I really wanted like this relic pack, I could Venmo 49 other people in my guild, have them buy it twice, and send it to me. This way, I just don't have to go through that other step. CG can just get the straight cash right out of my arms to make it work. So,
Right.
Yeah, so that's there. It's in the game. And it looks like they're getting ready to patch again. So,
Yeah, because we're gonna have downtime tonight. By the time this
well,
goes out, it'll be over, hopefully.
I've already gotten a second client restart, and it just prompted me. I think that there's another client restart coming. So, yeah, there a lot of things. There's a number of issues today. So.
The last thing that I will say on guild gifting, and I guess the fact that they are calling it guild gifting kind of answers my question here, but I'm a little disappointed that you can't do this with your allies.
Yeah.
I feel like this was a missed opportunity.
I do too.
Like, I'm not asking for guild gifting in general, but I feel like it would be a good opportunity if you have like a buddy that's just starting. Like,
Yeah.
you're obviously not in the same guild. Things like that would be a good way to keep them engaged.
I did see someone make a comment about that they're not surprised because it if you left it for allies, you would leave a door open for like gambling in game. Like I'm gonna put a $10 crystal pack on my GAC round with my opponent from that side. Like I think they said, you know, it's interesting. It kind of opens the door to some of those things. Honestly, if you want to put a $10 crystal pack on the game, there are plenty of other ways. Like it's 2024. If I want to exchange cash with someone over the internet in some way, shape, or form, there are ways to do that. So yeah, I do think it's missing up on that front. So
And I mean, you could still have that gambling thing and just enable it. It would just be guild wide instead. Like, how many banners did you get in Territory War? How many waves did you do in TV? Like all that. What did you score in the raid? Like,
Yeah, whoever's in last place in the raid now has to buy everyone the $60 relic
right.
pack. So, well, that's the gifting piece. It's there.
It exists.
Yeah, it exists. I would be shocked to find out. There was some really interesting ideas on Reddit that I think the only thing I took away is, wow, there's a lot of people that don't understand how money works.
I will say what I did like about it as well is you, so I was gifted something already
All
today
right.
because somebody in our guild wanted to test it. Nothing major, like the $5 crystal pack. And it tells you who gifted you it. And it goes to your inbox and you have to claim it, which is interesting because then if you're getting materials or something like that, or I'm assuming if they make it available, if there's a pack in there that has energy, it would sit in your inbox. It doesn't just dump into your account live.
Don't wasn't there a bug at one point of that impacted like players with certain letters in their name?
Was there?
Or am I conflating something else in my technology days? Here's the deal. We should probably vet that it works for characters whose names start with a P because we vetted that it works with a C. So anyone who wants to gift me something just for science, like just let's just validate, let's just check this out.
Our guild leader today was like, my inbox
You people don't care enough for me. So, all
Let's
right.
not grab the microphone. Thank you.
Enough with that.
Yeah.
Man, I you are that that is it is awesome. I wish folks could see this right now. It is Sarah trying to podcast with Jasper, just like, nope, that's not where that microphone goes. I need it over here.
Yeah, we're at this. I'm not even gonna fight it. You will be connected soon.
That is the coolest. All right. So the first thing that they announced, and I think I was a little surprised by this, but we are going to see a new bonus zone in Rise of the Empire.
Were you surprised that it's a new bonus zone in general or by what the zone is?
I was surprised that it was that we were announcing a new bonus zone at this point in time.
Okay.
I know the raid is far, like the raid is 6 months away, and all the other pieces. I thought a bonus zone coming in, this seemed a little early. The more I look at it, though, I think it makes a little bit more sense, especially with the way that they are being aggressive with getting with how they're kind of getting Bo out in people's hands from that side. So, but so the new zone will be Mandalore from Rebels, so the Rebel era's Mandalore, and really all they said was what Bo-Katan and Dark Troop from Moff Gideon, a lot of the Mandalorian faction. Some old favorites like Sabine Wren. Not a lot of detail as to what's there.
That tells me too, like, because there's not a lot of detail, that we probably won't see it before the summer.
See, I really thought we were going to see it this week, and then I remembered we're in territory battles, and that wouldn't be good. I think we're going to see it before the end of March.
You think that soon?
I do.
Oh
Yeah.
wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You wanna bet on it?
So here's the logic. March is the third month of the year. The raid is coming in, they said, I think the June, July timeframe, which is the 6 month of the year. So I think that, a new territory battle content is kind of the bridge for the new raid. Makes sense.
That makes sense. I could see that.
I think, man, that's going to be a long, boring run if all we get between now and the raid, like if we get Rise of the Empire and the raid and all that stuff kind of stacked up in that June, July, August timeframe, and we're doing nothing for the next few months. So, I would like to see it, I guess. So the interesting question though is, where do you think they're going to put it on the map?
So it sounds like if they're gonna make like Bo and Gideon usable, it's got to be mixed. And if you look in game, you can actually. Jasper figured out how to mute my microphone. Okay, you can actually see the division between the zones. So I don't mean like the planets themselves. You can see the dark side, light side, mixed
Oh, you can.
zones.
Okay.
The vertical line that separates them is actually bolder. So you're able to see where those bonus zones will open up based off of what zones are available in, or what empty spots are available in the mixed zone, the light side zone, etc.
Okay, I see.
So the first one that's available in the mixed zone is off of the phase 4 planet, which I believe is Kessel.
Now, okay, so Zepho, you need 6-star characters, correct? To on Braca, you need 6-star characters,
You
although you
need.
need seven to unlock, and it's 7-star characters. Man, I guess I would be surprised that they would put an 8-star, an eight, a relic 8 zone for the new planet.
I feel like it can't go any later than that, to be honest. I think if you go later than Relic 8, you're freezing out a way too many people, especially if you're going in the mixed zone. But I was also kind of thinking the same thing, but then people were pointing out you need the characters to get Bo at Relic 7 anyway.
That's a fair point. That's a good point.
So realistically, they're asking you to go up one Relic level, which makes sense in my opinion, that you would need to improve the team to do the mission to unlock the zone. It doesn't make sense to be like, yeah, you need Relic 7 to unlock Bo, and then be like, ah, and you already have the team done to go do this new mission we're bringing it. Like, I feel like that doesn't jive with their plans.
And I guess Relic 8 really is the spot, at least I would say mid to late game, that's like as far as a lot of people are willing to take characters. They always could redraw the line, because I still think that there's a it, it's actually, now that you're pointing this out and I'm looking at it, it's really surprising to me that they limited the first three zones in the middle path.
Yeah, I found that surprising too when I looked at it again.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, the map itself and the division hasn't changed at all from the concept art that they originally
Yeah.
put out when they first talked about the new TB coming in. And that concept art has the bonus planets on it
Okay.
with like the lines jutting off of it. And Kessel has one going to the left straight across.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I feel like that is probably where it's going to be.
Which then that means the next dark side planet that we would get would likely be off of Dathomir,
Yeah.
potentially off of Geonosis.
I think there's
Yeah, you
one
could.
off of, there's a ton on the concept art. There's a lot on the dark side.
Yeah, in fact, actually, you can go north off of Geonosis, or north, well, I guess west off of Dathomir, into those spots.
Yeah,
But
they have on their concept art, they have on the dark side five bonus planets.
so here's the minor issue with that being the spot. So that stripe, the first Relic 8 stripe, included in that is Lothal. And Lothal has a mandatory, or doesn't have a mandatory, as an optional Phoenix Relic 8 mission.
Oh, yep. So now you can't use
And
Sabine there.
can't use Sabine there. And Sabine's a big part of that team from that point. Now, again, who knows if everyone's going to be doing that at that spot in the map. Most people, I think, are doing like Zepho late in the map, what they're doing it. So yeah, it'll be interesting to where it kind of how they shake that out. I guess it's good they're giving us a reason to have Bo and Dark Trooper Moff Gideon and all of the Mandalorians and everything, so.
I mean, I wonder if this is, I mean, maybe you are right, and it is going to be end of March because that would make sense why she keeps coming back.
Yeah.
They keep shoving her down our throats.
There had to have been a reason to bring her back as
Totally.
frequently as they did. And again, I appreciate that they're giving people a lot of chances to do that so they can start participating. They probably learned their lesson with Zepho, that it took too long for people to pick up Cal Kestis, and it wasn't exciting enough for people to kind of get there. And it's not that Zepho is a letdown, but there just aren't enough people participating in it. And I don't think that people really see the value of it right now.
Which is hilarious as well because Cal Kestis has still not come back.
Yeah, I guess I was a little surprised he wasn't in this set of patch notes, but
Yeah.
yeah, I'm still writing that mod for Discord that anytime someone mentions Cal Kestis isn't back, it just changes it to like, hey, everyone should gift Pico $5 in crystals.
Okay, so we've got the bonus zone and the
Yep.
guild gifting,
Yes.
but there's more.
There is more. And so we have a new raid.
Yeah. I mean, we knew that we would get a new one.
Yep.
But we know that it's coming, and it's Naboo.
I want to address a point really quick. Really disappointed. Look, there's a lot of people disappointed with George Lucas and the prequels, and we're going to hear a lot about people being upset about what's coming along with this. But I learned this week that people from Naboo are called Naboolians, and I am disgusted that he did not go with Naboodians. I'm sorry, but Naboodians, it was there. It was right there for you to take. And you went with Naboolians. That's just so wrong. So, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes. Yeah. I was trying to track down all of these awesome characters that people were suggesting that we should get in the game because of Naboo, and I'm like, I have no idea who these people are. And I looked it up, and I saw people from it was literally like one of the questions in Google was like, what do you call people from Naboo? And they're called Naboolians. Like, this is dumb.
That's a terrible name.
It is. It is. Do you know what the capital of Djibouti is?
Djibouti,
Djibouti.
Djibouti.
Djibouti. I love that. And my kids hate it. Had nothing to do with anything.
Excuse me. Oh my gosh.
So the Naboo raid, this sounds like we're going to be playing as the forces of good against that awesome droid army at the end of the movie, which again, I thought that scene was great. I will be excited about it. I really do hope that we kind of get that behind the team view, and there's like 50 droids on the screen, and you just got to figure out ways to AE attack them and take them out left and right.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be great.
It sounds like it's just going to be endless, kind of
Yes.
how we are with the speeder bike raid right now.
Yep.
I mean, obviously there's an end, but
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about that in terms of that they could actually do the alternate ability for the raid the same way and not I guess I immediately went to we would need teams of five and using, the actual
right.
abilities that are there, but yeah, if you just put endless waves of droids coming at people and you had to manage, the special abilities they make, that would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah. And they do say like initial target date is for around summertime. And like you said, they told us the speeder bike grade had a, I think they said 8 to 9 months shelf life. So sometime around June, July, August, it should be gone.
Probably July or August 1st would be my guess.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be somewhere like mid July to early August. Yeah.
And go ahead,
Go
sorry.
ahead. Yeah, so we don't really know anything else though about the raid other than what may or may not be required.
Well, and to that point, we know we're getting 11 billion characters to support this,
Right.
including probably what will end up being the most divisive character in the release of the game ever.
This is mind-boggling to me.
One, the only Mr. Jar Jar Binks is coming.
Yeah. And he's a legendary.
He is a legendary, yes. As he should be.
I mean, he's a known character,
He,
like a
he's he's
well-known character.
he's a known character, and if you talk to anyone who will say aged 30 or older, name 10 Star Wars characters.
Oh yeah, he's on the list.
He's on the list. In fact, I would say if you say, give me five Star Wars characters and you can't screw it up, so you can't get like, Mewbacca or something like that. I
Right.
bet people get Jar Jar Binks because again, it's just that there's a certain group of people that kind of saw that movie at a certain time and he was a major character in that movie, right? However you feel about the matter, it is so.
Yeah.
But we will be getting a legendary Jar Jar with four other Gungans. So we will have a Gungan team, which we got the first of today, Mr. Boss Nass. And they're releasing them right now, which makes, again, we're probably looking at June, July for the targeted release.
I'm thinking we're gonna see Jar Jar as the end of June,
End of June. Okay.
like that placeholder that they've seemed to have made for legendary
Okay.
characters. That's my guess. The fact that they're releasing the marquees already also kind of points that way, because then they'll be farmable. Well, maybe not the last one, but
Well, so this is what I can't wrap my head around because we need between now and October, we'll call it.
okay.
We need a space for Jar Jar Legendary.
Yep.
We need space for likely a capital ship.
Right.
And we need space for a galactic legend. So, and we need Jar Jar by the raid. So, do you think that the release cadence will be like two Gungans, a couple of chases for ships, two Gungans, so that it's in a you've got to spend to get him state?
I think so. There's a couple of things that I am curious about when it comes to Jar Jar, mainly because they've said that him and the Gungans are going to be basically the equivalent of you using Leia or Jabba in the last two raids. We know from the Boss Nass release in the notes, they say that you will need him at Relic 5 to get Jar Jar. So let's just say Relic 5 across the books, you're going to need the four Gungans, Relic 5 to get Jar Jar. My concern is if they make him the end of June legendary release character and the raid starts, let's say middle to end of July, what are you doing with the Jar Jar cadence? Because if I miss him on the first go round and he doesn't come back around until, let's say, November, I don't really care if this new raid is now half over.
So, do you think he will go straight to the journey guide and never, he won't go on a release cadence?
I think he either has to go straight to Journey Guide or they have to make him come back in a similar fashion to what they're doing with Bo. I think that if they do their usual legendary antics that they did with Grand Inquisitor and Jedi Cal, there is zero incentive for me to go hard and get him, especially when it comes for the to it for the raid. If the raid's shelf life is half over at that point, then I don't care. At that point, I'm not investing in the raid anymore.
So, all right, so looking at this, let's say we got Boss Nass today. We'll say that what Tarple or Tar the Captain Tarples comes out on March 6th. 2 weeks after that is, you know, the other Gungan on the March 20th. That would mean the last Gungan comes into the game on the third. That is, if they do every other week and they only release those characters. That means that the last Gungan released drops on, or it hits the shipments on May 1st. And is it 2 weeks after shipments they go farmable, or is it another month after that?
Usually from marquee date to being farmable is roughly 8 to 9 weeks,
So that would
unless
put,
they expedite it.
okay, then that would put him at June 5th. That would put the last of the four characters at June 5th as farmable.
I could see them making it so that the last character goes farmable the same day that Jar Jar goes into the game. So I could see them maybe doing what you said, where they kind of split it and delay one and add in like a chase or something. The other thing is they did mention as well that we're getting a couple Galactic Republic characters. So there's going to be, I'm assuming, marquees for those as well.
Yeah, I think they're gonna make a big mistake if they gate Jar Jar with time.
Yeah, I they can't gate him with time because you're gonna lose so much of the player base interest. Like, yeah, sure, I'll get him eventually, but I'm not gonna rush him.
So the raid was 2 months after Leia released.
The raid came out, it was November, the first week of November,
Okay,
I
and Leia
believe.
was like early September, if I remember correctly. So,
I can tell you in 2 seconds when the raid was, because I was looking at my little sheet of scores. So the first one we did was November 20th, but we ran it about a week later than everyone else because we launched the crate raid. Yeah, and I think, okay, let me pull up a calendar because this also is going to relate to Jar Jar, and I feel bad because I'm going to hop around a little bit. So we already knew that the next conquest character was going to be Lightside because of Meathead saying that. So he confirmed in the road ahead that it's Queen Amidala. So she's not going to be the GL. We are going to unlock Bane on March 4th. So conquest for Amidala will start March 18th.
I see what you're doing.
So if we get March 18th as her start date, three conquests later would be end of May, roughly, that we should be unlocking her. And they have said that two new characters for the Galactic Republic faction that are going to accompany her, which makes me think that those two characters would be released before her conquest run is done.
So really, we need to see six characters released in the next 3 months.
That is insane.
And that's
That's too many.
so six, well, six characters, and we'll call it,
Like 3.5 months.
we'll call it 14 weeks.
Yeah. It's doable, but it'll be a lot.
We're not getting a break. We're not getting any of these like, oh, it was 3 weeks in between release, or they skipped a week. It's oof. I don't know how they're gonna get, I just don't know how they're gonna get a Galactic Legend or a ship in.
I think we don't see them. Like, I think this road ahead takes us to June, July, and then everything else we see in another post in like May.
I don't I guess the difference between what how this year's shaping up to how last year's shaping up is, well, we got Cal. This is a great way to look at it. So we got Cal, and Cal had roughly, I think it was the same number of characters that the Gungans needed, and he was in that June, July time frame. And then we got a conquest character slash ship, which was Malgus. And then we got a couple of supporting characters to go along with Malgus for something that came later in the year. Which that's kind of like the Queen Amidala and the couple of characters they're going to bring along with that. What doesn't fit in that case is, like, we didn't get a second, journey guide type thing in the year. I don't know how they're gonna pull that off. Maybe we don't get a capital ship this year.
I honestly don't want one.
I don't either. Although I will tell you that if this time next year we'll be complaining about the state of the ship meta and how stale the ship meta is.
I mean, so when I say I don't want a capital ship, I mean I don't want a capital ship. You can change the ship meta without a capital ship. Like, you don't need to just drop a new capital ship every year. And the reason I don't want one is just because I understand that this is like a problem with me, not how the game functions. I hate breaking apart my fleets to make another fleet. Like, I'm like, I don't have enough ships. If you're gonna give me another capital ship, I want more ships. And I understand that that's not necessary. Like, I could just take ships from other fleets and call it good. I don't want to do that. So yeah, I just don't want it. But I'm just looking, by the way, real quick at Jedi Cal from last year. So we had the five marquees that we needed. Cal was the first one. His marquee event was March 9th. So we're on par. So he was March 9th. 2 weeks later was Seer. 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks after that was Marin. 3 weeks after that was Tarful. And then A week later was Saw.
All I hope for is it's a little hard to say this when they're all going to fit into one team, but that Cal release outside of Tarful, they were all a massively impactful character. Like, people are just now finally starting to see what Saw really can do.
Right.
I hope that we are as happy with that team, than as with the Gungans as we are with everything that came out of Cal.
Yeah.
I really hope it just doesn't turn into being a raid team and it does okay in other game modes. There's no way to win the Jar Jar conversation.
There isn't. And I would hope that CG knows that.
Yeah.
Who
Like,
knows?
if he's bad in other game modes, people are going to talk about how he was a wasted character. If he's overly powerful, people will complain because Jar Jar shouldn't be overly powerful. I hope they err on the side of caution. They just make him awesome, and like, that team is just great across every game mode. It's got a use in every game mode, and we just get it over with and deal with it. So.
Yeah. Okay. So Jar Jar's coming, Gungans are coming,
Yep.
Amidala's coming, two Galactic Republic characters
Yes.
also coming with her. And it sounds like Amidala is going to have Omicrons in GAC,
Yeah.
but they do say she will also have solid raid utility. So you're gonna want her for the raid too.
Yep. Not surprised. They did say in kind of like the high level of her kit that she's going to have a summon. The summon is always going to taunt, is the way that I read that. Like, it's going to have an undispellable taunt on it.
That's how
And
I'm reading it too.
my
Permanent
guess would
taunt.
be that it's the Keira Knightley character
Right.
who she'll summon from the Phantom Menace. So I'm looking forward to that one. I think that'll be a fun kit. I'm really interested to see who they bring to the game. I think it's the captain, the fancy cap captain, and I think we're gonna get Padawan Kenobi.
Yeah, I think that's a gimme.
Yeah. What will be interesting is that will be the first character that has a journey guide or that has a Galactic Legend that they then release something after the fact for it.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
But also, all right, the case for not making Kenobi is Kenobi has a. What does Maul do to that team? Because he will automatically start at five stacks because there's a Kenobi on the team. So, Meathead, I know you're listening. So, if you guys are doing this, test that case. Like, I'm sure that's not one of the cases that you're testing right now.
I just assumed it would be Padawan Kenobi that I'm like, I don't know who else you would do other than I had said to you, I was like, I would take a Bail Organa. I don't want another Qui-Gon.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think there's a need for another Qui-Gon, to be honest.
Which, all right, so let's talk about raid characters for a second.
Okay, yes.
Galactic Republic and Separatists are both massive factions.
They are.
But if you look at the characters that were in the Phantom Menace from those two factions, it's tiny.
Okay, so we should only be looking at those, is what you're getting at.
I don't know. At some point or not, like, CG can dance around it, but like, so Hera is in the Endor raid, but in canon, Hera was at the Battle of Endor.
Right.
So it makes sense that she was there. But if you look at, there was Qui-Gon was there, was in the movie, Grandmaster Yoda, Mace, the Snipses didn't exist. You could argue Ki-Adi Mundi, but I don't think you can. Like, the council was there, but I don't think they played a role in the movie. I kind of broke it down by Galactic Republic Jedi, non-Jedi, clones, and Gungans. On the non-Jedi, 3PO and R2-D2, Amidala, Clone Wars Chewie wasn't in that movie. I guess technically Cup. because I think he's timeless.
Right.
The clones weren't a thing.
Right, so they're gone.
You look at the separatists. Grievous wasn't a thing. Wat Tambor wasn't a thing. Newt was. Jango wasn't. The only droids that actually, I guess the droidicas were, so droidicas, B1s, B2s, and droidicas were all there. Magna Guards weren't there. Stop, he'll be there.
Yeah.
And the Geos weren't there. So I'm
Dang.
really, I don't think you can start, not that I think anybody was, I don't think you can start relegating characters in advance outside of start taking the good characters that are in those factions up and figure out where it's going. Like Yoda, Padme,
Right.
the droids probably make sense, but it's a huge faction, just a huge faction that just wasn't in the movies, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it's important to also say, like, they do say Galactic Republic, Jedi, Separatists, and Gungans,
Yeah.
but they also say subsets of the characters from those
Yes.
factions. So it's not going to be the blanket faction where you're going to be safe if you know, relic everyone kind of thing. I mean, you will be safe if you relic everyone, but also you might be bad.
That don't go after Kit Fisto just because you think that this is going to be the time that they're going to fix that whole
Right.
faction. So, yeah.
I think that's everything though from the
It
road
is.
ahead. Oof.
That's really it. I mean, there was a lot of detail. Like this was it was a weird road ahead from the standpoint that there's a lot of detail, but there wasn't a lot of meat on it. You know, we didn't tend to, you know, sometimes with the road aheads we get the we're going to deep dive through every feature that's going to be associated with this. They were more high
Right.
level of kind of where those where things were kind of being delivered from. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I think this also just plays into what they said with Stop, where we're gonna be getting Phantom Menace content.
Yep.
So I'm not shocked by this at all. And yeah.
So,
I think it was fine. I think it was a good road ahead. I
yeah,
don't
it was a
really
good
have
road
any
ahead.
complaints. My only concern is what the Jar Jar cadence will be in relation to the raid. That's really it, and I think that's a valid concern.
And look, you know. That will be as soon as we get Jedi Cal Kestis back. It's going to be what's going to be the release cadence. That's going to be the most common question. Folks will know when we know. You know, we're probably honestly I would expect maybe the next major update around this to be around May the 4th.
Yeah, I don't expect any news before May. So.
You know, maybe a release of raid characters in April. But probably the big details probably come in around May the 4th, just because it's a big time of the year to do that kind of stuff. So, do we want to jump
All right.
into the new big boss?
Yeah, let's
All
do
right.
it. I did not look at his kit at all.
I started reading it, and then that whole shield thing that he has kind of confused me, and I decided not to dig into it too hard. So. We got Boss Nass, who is a light side leader support in Gungan. One of the interesting things that I read right off the bat, they decided to release him first
Right.
so that as other characters get added to the team, you have a full view of how the team functions.
Okay.
Because that leader ability always has such a massive
Yes.
impact on what it does that they're like, nope, we're going to give you the leader ability up front. And that's the order of why they're releasing them in this cadence.
Honestly, that's smart. That's how
It
you
is.
should do it. Take notes, CG. Do it that way in the future.
Only took you 8 years.
On. The thing that I noticed in this before we hop into his kit is there's a new marquee structure.
I'm interested to see how that shakes out.
So the idea is to come back every day that the marquee is active and play the marquee again. I don't know if it's tied to star level for whether or not you get rewards. And I honestly didn't look at what the rewards were. I think they were data mined and somebody posted a screenshot somewhere, and I honestly just didn't look at it. Can I just
What?
say, I don't want to play a marquee like event more than once.
So, what if Do you remember when they released Django and we got, like, for every phase of the marquee, we got a Zeta mat?
Yes.
What if that's what they do? Would your opinion change if you can, if you for the next 5 days, if you had to do one of those missions for a Zeta mat every day?
See, I'm Zeta poor, so I feel like I would do it. It depends on what the rewards are. If they're like, hey, we'll give you some credits or something, I'm like, I don't really care.
I don't
But
need that.
my thought is, if you're going to want, you want me in game. We've got territory battles going on, conquest is going on, the raid is happening, everything else in game, you're doing like your dailies, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to play a marquee more than once. That feels like a punishment. I already don't play them. I hit auto. So I realize that this probably is like a double-edged sword in my argument because I'm going to hit auto if you make me do it every day. I don't want to have to do that though. Like, let me go do something else in game.
If the rewards are guaranteed Zetas, I think it's worth it.
I would do it for Zetas. It's not going to be Omicrons because Omicrons are tied behind the legacy tier. I wouldn't do it for credits. I honestly just would not care. I probably wouldn't do it for ability mats, other than Zetas. Maybe Omegas, but honestly, probably not because I don't have a crunch. I wouldn't do it for mods. We get so
No,
many influx of mods that I would just be like, eh. And I think actually we get mods with the marquee anyway.
we do. You get one blue health mod for every you get the equivalent of six, a full set of
Yeah.
health mods.
So I don't think it would be that. I don't know. I will be annoyed if they make it that like you have to go in every day and you get a sprinkle of shards. So you have to do it every day to unlock. That's going to annoy me.
That's a problem because there are too many people that play the game that don't play it consistently enough.
Yeah.
And to find out you can't unlock a marquee at the end of the event because you missed a day, that's punitive. Like they can't do that. That it's got to be something you will miss if you're not there, but you're not penalized if you're not there, I guess.
Yeah. I'm just so specific and conscious of how I'm playing the game in terms of how much time I'm spending in game, when I'm playing the game. And like this is directly related to me. It is all because of Jasper. Like I don't like playing it in front of him. It's funny because he likes to like watch it, but also I don't want him to necessarily watch it for 3 hours a day. So I don't want to have to remember to go in and hit auto on this marquee. And like sometimes I just want to be able to be like, you know what? I did TB, I did Conquest, we're good. I don't need to worry about this marquee until tomorrow.
So I agree. All right, let's talk about Mr.
Yes.
Nass's kit. So again, light side support, Gungan. I was surprised they were not Galactic Republic characters.
You know what? That's a good point. I didn't even realize that they weren't Galactic Republic. I wonder if there were would be like issues with other Galactic Republic characters, with like Padme or Kenobi or
You
whatever.
don't have to tune them at that way that point for all for the other kits.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's not, is there issues? You've just eliminated any potential because, again,
Exactly.
I'm going to say CG doesn't test, but I'm not going to say it the way most people, CG doesn't test because they can't test every permutation is what it is, really
Right.
what it comes down to. So,
There's too many characters in game.
there are, that's, it's insane. So he has, you want me to read the kit or do you want to read the kit?
You go for it.
So, basic is boss's command, final text. Inflict offense down on target enemy for one turn and call another random Gungan ally to assist, dealing 30% more damage. During boss Nass's turn, he recovers 30% protection, gains 10% max protection stacking max to 100%, until the end of the encounter and inflicts vulnerable on target enemy for one turn. So, not bad. Good
Not
basic.
bad.
Called assist dealing more damage is pretty rare.
Yeah, I do like that. I like that when it's or during his turn he recovers the protection. Like I like that.
Yep. Special one, Bombed Favor, which is a cooldown of three. Final text, dispel all debuffs on Gungan allies, and they gain 25% turn meter and retribution for 2 turns. All allies recover 20% protection. If there's an active ally shield generator, remove one stack of recharge from it. Gungan allies gain additional benefits based on their role. Attackers, critical damage up for 2 turns. Tanks, taunt for 2 turns. Supporters and healers, speed up for 2 turns. And yeah, that's it.
Okay. It's
So
not
pretty straightforward.
great. Jar Jar, I don't know if you saw, they said he's gonna be a support.
Yes. Yep.
So he'll be speeding up for 2 turns.
I wonder if he's going to need to be like fast go first, or if it's,
That's
or
what
if
I'm
you want
wondering.
him to go first because he's a 25% bonus. Probably should have looked to see what his base speed was. I wonder if he's fast or not. So the special two, Intimidating Order, which is a cooldown of four, dispel buffs on all enemies. If an enemy was buffed, remove 25% turn meter from them. If they were a separatist, remove 50% turn meter instead. Inflict target
Oh.
enemy with exposed for 2 turns and inflict all enemies with defense down, 2 damage over time and healing immunity for 2 turns. So again, pretty straightforward.
So if you are a separatist, you remove 50% turn meter instead.
Yep.
I guess the dispel though is just in general, so it doesn't matter if you're a separatist, you're still getting dispelled, you're just getting more turn meter removed.
So here's the interesting thing. We are three abilities in, and Boss Nass has not done damage yet.
No, this is going to be very interesting on his marquee
Yeah.
because we have no Gungans.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Unique one, which is a Zeta. Final text. At the start of battle, Boss Nass loses 75% max health and gains that much max protection. At the start of Boss Nass's turn, he gains potency equal to 50% of his current protection percent until the start of his next turn. The start of Boss Nass's turn, he gains potency equal to 50% of his current protection percent until the start of his next turn. Okay.
So if he has 50% protection, he gains 25%
Okay.
potency,
Okay. But for
right?
only one turn. Got it.
Right.
Okay. Whenever enemies are inflicted with speed down, they have minus 25% critical chance and offense. Okay.
Okay.
If there is an active ally shield generator, whenever a Gungan ally loses turn meter, they gain 10% of their current max protection stacking until the end of battle. Whenever Boss Nass inflicts a debuff, he deals true damage to the afflicted target. Okay.
Okay.
That's pretty nice.
And that's
So,
if there is an ally shield generator.
yes. I get the sense of what I read from this is that if there is no shield generator, you have lost.
Right.
Is kind of the way this looks. So, yeah. Leader. So boss of Ototh Gunga. Man,
Oto Gunga?
yeah, real quick, as a quick aside,
Yeah.
you wrote the word paycheck today.
I did.
That is not how you spell check. Chequee.
It is.
So I'm a terrible speller. And I'm even worse at actually understanding how words are spelled. Like sounding out never happened in my life. I make a gut check and I go with it. You can't put a word like paycheck there and have it just me question what my entire life is going to be, whether that is correct or not.
It is the British spelling, but
Okay.
it is also the preferred spelling in Canada.
All right. I am down with the OURs, like the extra letters and colors and things like that, but QUE in Czech, that's just nope. That I would have tried to make that French and turn it into like pay cheek or something, pay Q or something like that. Yeah.
I feel like I need to find like other words that I spell differently and just randomly drop them
Yeah.
into messages.
Pay Q would be the French Canadian version of like Pico de Gallo would is the way that I'm looking at it. So all right, sorry. Let's start. So Zeta and Omicron. Gungan allies have 30% max protection and offense and th plus 30 speed. So pretty good. And that's after turning 75% of their max health into max protection. That would be another 30% on top of that. Whenever a Gungan ally attacks out of turn, they inflict speed down for one turn. The first time each Gungan ally drops below 50% health, they gain 50% bonus protection for two turns. If there is an ally shield generator, whenever it loses a stack of recharge, Gungan allies gain 1% max protection, max of 50, until the end of the encounter. If the shield generator is defeated, Gungan allies gain 50% turn meter. At the end of each Gungan ally's turn, they remove a stack of recharge.
So the recharge is on the shield generator, which,
Yep.
by the way, I was reading this wrong the entire time, and I was thinking shield generator was a buff that he was going to give it.
Nope. Yeah, well, it is a summon in the ally slot. And
How
then if
many stacks of recharge does it start with?
I think 50 is what I saw scanning it. Well, at the end of this, there's the summon statistics that are in there. So if all allies are Gungans at the start of battle, summon a shield generator to battle if the ally slot is available. While in territory wars, Gungans gain 50% protection and 30 speed, 50% max protection. So it's 80% max protection in territory wars and 60 speed is what they pick up. And if you can make them fast enough, they all get 25% turn meter on top of that. So at the start of each Gungan ally's turn, they recover 20% protection and dispel all debuffs on themselves. Whenever a Gungan ally is dazed or stunned, they dispel it and recover 75% protection and gain four stacks of protection over time, 10% for two turns. So, sounds pretty good. We'll see what the rest of the team looks like. The summon, which is the shield generator, basic plasma pulse. All Gungan allies recover 100% protection, gain 25% turn meter, and have their cooldowns reduced by one. So this actually the shield generator is an actual character. It's you're gonna you, there are abilities there. So wow, recover 100% protection and gain 25% turn meter. That's
And have
kind of
their cooldowns
crazy.
reduced by one. So if you recover 100% protection, you would be going in with 50% potency pretty
Yes.
much consistently. That's his basic.
Yes.
That's all he's going to do.
And there's something in the unique that whenever enemies are inflicted with speed down, they have minus 25% critical chance in offense.
Oh my God.
So yeah, he's crippling somebody. All
Wow.
right. Unique big bombad shielding. The shield generator has 10 stacks of plasma shielding, which can't be copied, dispelled, or prevented. Whenever it takes damage, it loses one stack. While shield generator is active, Gungan allies have the following benefits: 500% defense. Why did they let General Skywalker ignore protection so they can do things like this?
That is hilarious.
Immune to critical hits and take reduced damage from percent health damage effects. So expose that expose doesn't hit them as hard. So that's the unique. The other unique or plasma shielding, while the shield generator has this, its allies gain bonuses. Okay. I don't, that's weird. The unique pride of the Grand Army. Shield generator has no health or protection and can't be defeated or destroyed while it has plasma shielding. Got it. While all stacks of plasma shielding expire, the shield generator is destroyed. The shield generator is immune to buffs and debuffs, and its max health and max protection can't be increased. The shield generator has 50 stacks of recharge. which can't be copied, dispelled, or prevented. When it loses all stacks of recharge, it takes a bonus turn and gains 50 stacks of recharge.
I'm confused.
Yeah, the unit will take a bonus turn when it has, when all stacks expire. So why do we have
Why do we?
stacks?
Okay.
All right. Did we miss something about like the more stacks that you have, the more?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's probably in somebody else's kit where that matters. And then some this unit can only be summoned to the ally slot, can't be summoned in certain raids, can't be revived. If an effect counts as a defeated unit, the unit doesn't count. When there are no other allied combatants, this unit escapes from battle. The unit can't be revived to summon until it's the same kind of summoned unit details. So, yeah, that's interesting.
So you can't summon it except at the start of the battle.
Yep.
So once it's dead, and it dies after the 10 shield, whatever thingy, the 10
Yes.
stacks of that, but then it has 50 stacks of recharge.
Correct. There
And
was something in the kit around recharge. Like
there
it
was.
when I think it was whenever a Gungan takes a turn, it drops a stack of recharge. Yeah.
And on his special, you remove a stack of recharge as well.
So we're gonna likely see something in the kit that how they will probably interact with charges of recharge.
There's gotta be something. I mean, realistically, you lose the 50 stacks of recharge, you just gain them back again anyway, and it just
Yes.
takes a bonus turn, and which heals you because there's only a basic.
All right. I thought I saw something on. But the shield generator, how does recharge work? Through a variety of mechanics, Gungans will reduce the number of recharge stacks on the shield generator. When it reaches zero, it will gain a bonus turn where it can use its basic ability. Does the shield generator gain turns outside of recharge reaching zero? Oh. So, okay. I th think.
Oh, so it
So
will only take a turn.
when it as it cranks down, and that's how you prevent it from taking, every third turn, increasing everyone's protection all the way back up. So
Right, and reducing
it
your cooldowns and all that stuff.
yeah. So you're basically draining the shield as you're doing things, and then it restarts,
Right.
provides a big shielding to everyone again, and then it's draining over time and then going back up and looping through. Okay.
So you will lose one stack if you do Boss Nass's special,
Yep.
his first special, and then I saw, I think it's his leader.
Every time a Gungan takes a turn, they take a stack of recharge as well.
Okay. And if
And
you're
I,
gaining turn meter and stuff, you are realistically gonna you're gonna go a few times.
and I saw somewhere that it said that the rest of the Gungans are going to interact with the For the gun with the faction is part of what they do. So yeah, each Gungan will also have their own share of synergies and benefits from the presence of the shield generator.
Right,
So
so
they're
there's
gonna
more to
all
come.
interact with it in one way or another. So
All right.
interesting kit.
Yeah, I'm intrigued for his marquee with no Gungans.
Yeah.
That's gonna be real interesting. That we get
Although
to
I
do
guess
over and over and over.
Yeah, I guess he does. I wonder if we're actually not going to get, like, maybe we'll actually get Jar Jar ahead of time.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, would they just put the other Gungans in the event as
Yeah,
playable characters? But
that would be kind of cool.
I don't know if they will. I guess we'll find out.
We didn't get that with the Bad Batch, did we? Like, the first mission was Hunter by himself, and
Oh.
they kept adding him in, I thought, through the course of the.
I think it
The
was him
marquee.
by himself. I don't I yeah, I don't remember. Man, it was so long ago. I don't remember. Yeah. It'll be fine, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We'll find out in, like 12 hours,
Right.
18 hours, something like that. Math was never our strong suit.
No. Okay, so that's the kit.
Yep.
And then they did their patch update today.
Yes.
And they also have downtime tonight with the servers going offline. So hopefully they're back online tomorrow for us to log in.
And that's at midnight Pacific.
Yeah. And it's
Okay.
supposed to be 1 hour.
Okay.
I will not be awake for it. So.
What's interesting, I think a lot of people speculated it was tied to the gifting, but gifting is live.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know. Software updates.
Yeah. So it looks like they fixed a ton of bugs.
Yeah.
But that's oh, the this is a good one. Discard and retry in raids will now always properly remember the squad you brought into the battle. That's the biggest
Yeah.
one, I think, out of this whole list.
Yep. The other, and I think this it's an important clarification, but they changed the rule of two to state that when the conditions are met, and I don't remember what it is on Bane's kit, he takes a bonus turn. It's not that he gains 100% turn meter, because there are characters that do not that
Oh,
prevent that 100% turn meter. So, if
that's
the way the
important.
note reads it was it was always that was the way it worked. They just updated the kit to reference it correctly. So
That's important.
yep.
Another one that is raid related and may be relatable to some people, not necessarily everyone. You now need to have Leia's ultimate to have access to it in the raid. So you didn't need to beforehand. Why they are doing that 4 months into it beats me, but
And the other thing, and again, I don't think this impacts either of us, but Bad Batch Season 3 started today. They're putting an event in for players who haven't, obtained the characters yet. So if you don't have more than, if you have less than 50 shards, there's going to be an event that's going to help you, I don't know, get it moving, I guess. They've done these in the past
They
around related to
have.
the TV shows. So,
They have. And it's a fun team to play, so.
yep. Yeah.
And also no spoilers. So that's it. That's all of the updates.
They fixed a bunch of bugs. They
Yeah.
introduced a bunch of bugs.
Yes.
There's an issue with the data cron pack right now. I think that was disabled in the game.
Yeah, I think so too. They didn't say what the issue was, though.
Yeah. Sea of Legendary Journey is
Ugh.
bugged, and there's some weird behaviors with gifting that they're chasing down. And I think we've seen a couple of patches already tonight around that those things. So
I really want them to fix that C1 because we're farming tickets on Professor X and like for the ultimate ability, and of course that's the one that's bugged.
yeah, of course. That's the way it's gonna have to be. So
Yeah, it's fun. Everything's fine. Okay, I think we did the big topic.
I think we did too.
We did our that our that's new moon was everything.
Is
I need
there
to go
something
check.
bigger than the road ahead?
No.
No, not at all.
We've only been asking for it for 2 months.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's our Bantha in the room? The negative.
So I said it as we were talking about things. I just don't want to listen to the Jar Jar haters.
Right.
I mean, look, I appreciate you don't like the character. And I appreciate you're going to have to get it because it's going to be meaningful somewhere. But there's also a lot of people that actually like that character.
Right.
So let them have their thing.
Right. Like yeah. That's really all there is to it. Like just let it be a thing.
Enjoy your digital pixels and call it a day. So,
At the end of the day, it's just a game and you need characters to be competitive in certain game modes. And if you don't want them, then you don't have to be competitive in that game mode.
yeah.
That's fine. But also, like, Like, I've always had the mentality of I don't really care who the character is. If they're going to move the needle, I'll go after them. Like, I have never played KOTOR, and I was like, I have to wail on Darth or on Jedi Revan because I can't miss this meta shift. And I was like, I have no idea who you are, but okay, you look like you're going to be strong.
I know there's a lot of people like Darth Bane. To me, that is a character from a different video game inserted into Galaxy of Heroes.
Right.
But he looks like he's going to do great things, so I will use him.
Right, exactly.
I might one day even read his Wikipedia entry to find out some details about him. So.
Yeah. It'll be fine at the end of the day. I
Yep.
hope. Yeah, I don't think I really have a negative. I just have questions,
Yeah.
mainly with Jar Jar for the raid, but I always have questions when they do these things.
If they gave us all of the details that we needed up front, we probably wouldn't be playing. Like, part of it is like
Right.
I'm sticking around to see what's going to happen next.
Well, and also, like, I feel like for me personally, because I do get crap from people for asking questions whenever they put these things out. My thought is I'm going to ask the questions because then when this drops, when the raid drops, when Jar Jar drops, et cetera, if those questions that I asked 4 months ago aren't answered, we have a problem. Like let's just circle back. And I think that's fair to bring them up so that they have been brought up beforehand.
Yes. And we
Anyway.
know that they all listen to HNN, and this is where they're
Correct.
going to, like, yeah, we didn't think about that.
I don't know why Meathead does Q&A links. Like, he
Yeah.
gets all of his cues from us right here.
I mean, just call us ahead of time. Just cut the
Okay.
middleman out.
Should we do I Love You, I Know, and be positive?
Yeah.
I feel like we
Yeah.
should be positive. It's been 8 years of positivity, sunshine, daisies.
There's some good things from time to time.
Right? What have you liked?
I'm happy with the road ahead.
Yeah.
It's going to give me something to focus on until probably the most important thing that's going to happen easily this year, if not probably in the last 5 or 6 years. That's the return of NCAA College Football 2025. That has been shockingly missing from my life when they banned it a few years ago when they shelved it, which comes out in the July timeframe. So I'm excited. This will get me through to will probably be me taking a month off of work and benching that game on Xbox for an extended period of time. So yeah, I'm pretty happy.
So you're set.
Yes, I'm good. I'm set. Yeah.
See, I thought the road ahead was good too. I thought we got exactly like you said. We got direction. We know where the game is
Yeah.
going for the next, I'm gonna say 4 to 5 months.
Yep.
And it doesn't necessarily steer my path. It literally just is like hooking on another car to my train.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you're next. Like,
Yeah.
and it's all good. So.
There are two new factions now that when you see green pluses, you should probably just hit them out of habit
Right. I
for the
will
time being.
say I did go in to play Conquest today, and I always like I'm filtering by faction and
Yeah.
whatever, and I could not figure out why everything had moved. And I was like, why is Hutt Cartel not here? And like, where are my Inquisitors? Where's like what is happening? And it's because Gungans are there and everything has now shifted. But you know, my world was ending for a little bit.
Moved my Hutt cartel? It was right here yesterday.
Right. I was like, it's not on the right anymore. It's on the left. Okay. Anyway, that's that. Shall we do the Discord corner?
Yeah, we got a couple of questions. Starting with Mole Pokey, and again, this first one, it could be in relation to any number of things, but he started with WTF guys, WTF. I don't even want to know where to start with that, but I thought this was actually a great. We got two questions. I thought they're both phenomenal. So Mole Pokey's real question is How do you think conquest could be improved for players who aren't finding hard mode challenging that isn't, oh, you have to get 30 Ewok wins instead of 20 Ewok wins?
Right. This is a really interesting question, and I think my short answer for it is I think CG unfortunately painted themselves into a corner with Conquest. And when you gate content behind specific GP levels, but then have, like, when they put in that 4 million GP gap, a lot of us were well above 4 million GP already.
Yep.
So you are kind of shooting yourself in the foot there, where you're not giving yourself enough runway space, so to speak, that the player base is not going to get bored of it.
Okay.
So I think the only way you can do that is to add a expert mode or something on top of that, which would just be obscene. And I don't really know what you do to entice players to go to that mode, because you can't remove the shards from hard mode and move them
Right.
to export
Yeah.
expert at this point. So you need to put something else in the rewards there that make it enticing for players to play expert instead of hard. And I don't know what else you could add.
So I'm going to throw this out there. Expert mode, but your data disk budget is cut in half, as well as your feats are cut in half. Okay. Rewards are doubled. Outside, not shards,
But everything
but the
else.
everything else on the, we'll say on the path, not in the box, at the end box. So in the idea behind that is if you are,
So you get more Omicrons, more.
but it would, so there's two Omicrons on the path, there's two in the box. So you get four. It's more the relic material and all the other stuff that's there that kind of give people the flexibility to spend where they want. But the way I'm thinking about this is, if you're going to go into hard mode, or if you're going to go into expert, you likely have a roster that supports clearing the zone easier without having to rely on disc to get you through there. We're going to make it harder for you to get to the end of the path by cutting your budget, your disc budget in half. But we're also going to cut the feats in half, because something like, what the Sector 5 ones that are like 300 of each, you might actually have to play those a little bit more from that side. But I look at it as, the teams get harder. I'm going to give you less tools to do so, but I'm also going to give you the reward of thank you for being a 11 to 13 million GP player, and all the time you spent. So we're going to let you speed through this a little bit faster.
That's not bad. Because I really don't know what else you do at this point with it, which is unfortunate because it's a fun game mode. I said this to Mulpokey earlier. I can't remember if it was today or yesterday or Monday. Doesn't matter. It's a fun game mode, but the first one rolls around, you're puzzling everything out. The second one rolls around, you've figured out the puzzle, so you're just finessing and going through like a pro. And then the third one rolls around like this one, and you're kind of like, okay, I did this already. Give me a new thing. Give me a new challenge. And it's almost a little bit more, I don't want to say draining, but it definitely feels like that even more so when you repeat feats. Like, we already had this Ewok feat. This is now month, I think, six of this specific Ewok feat with the specific team and needing to survive and everything. I think if they didn't do that, and I get why you're doing it, because while it's tedious for us to play, it's also tedious for them to have to think of new feats. But then also, maybe that's the solution as well, to just not have as many stupid 20, 40 battle feats, and
And
then you don't have to think of it that way.
this is, I think, Part of my challenge with it right now is I ran two teams down to zero stamina this morning
Right.
because I want to be done.
Yeah.
I don't want to farm unaligned light side force user kills over 3 days.
Right.
I finished it today because I ran through 10 missions,
Right.
and then the second that I got back up to 1%, I went in and I did it again. I'm tired of this. The characters must survive feats. They need to go away because they just. Yes, so you're getting double penalized. You dropped a star if you're trying to clear zones. So that's you've got to go back and burn energy for that. You've got to go back now and burn energy for that team a second time because you lost a character from that side. Like it shouldn't feel bad when you win. Like I get the star piece. Like the star piece I'm okay with. It shouldn't feel like you lose though when you win a mission.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so I just thought of this right now. So go with me. I would be more interest, not even more interested, but I think it would go a long way with the player base if you remove some of the grindier feats. So maybe these 20 battles, 14 battles, whatever in the sectors, and gave the mini boss and boss nodes 3 feats to complete instead of the two. And then just move one of those feats there and give it the amount of points that it's worth. So if it's a 10-point feat and it's I realize this. Okay, so it's a 15-point feat because you have to win with that specific Ewok team. Put that feat on the boss node and you get the 15 points that way. Maybe that's a bad example because that's such a high number, but maybe it would be better to do it from a sector feat and move it out of the sector in general and put it on the boss.
So what are your thoughts of dropping a feat from each zone and replacing it with defeat the boss of the mini boss node 5 times?
Done. That's
I
fine.
would do that in a heartbeat because again,
That's totally fine. Because also a lot of the time the mini boss and the boss nodes are nodes that you're using to work on other feats anyway.
And you're consuming 100 energy to do that. Because part of this is like
Yes.
the feats are
Yes.
there to consume energy. So yes, give me something I have to do to consume energy, but let me just and that becomes part of the reward for the folks with the larger size roster because I have a number of teams that can typically beat those boss nodes. You need me to go drop 50 energy on somebody right now. I got a team that can do it.
Right, exactly.
So yeah.
That's a good idea. I like that.
And again, I'm happy to. I'm not earning rewards for it. It's not like I'm burning it on the treasure nodes at the end. I get why they put the feat structure in because again, they want people to play the game. They want people to engage with it. They want people to burn crystals and things like that. For the players that want to go into expert, they're playing the full 2 weeks because they're sending all those nodes to get resources to engage with data
Exactly.
clowns, which is where they want people to be in the long run from that side anyway. So,
Exactly.
it is going to probably have to be an expert mode. But again, I'm up for defeating challenging teams. I just have zero interest in trying to cheese 100 or 500 days conditions. On something that's starting at Relic 8 on the first zone, and I don't have any data disks.
Yeah, that's not gonna be feasible. Yeah.
Good question though.
It's a great question because it is stale.
The other question from Goodwin, and I really like this because again, with everything going on in the game, is why did you log into
I had to do territory battles.
the
I was waking up
Yeah.
and I was like, oh, I gotta do territory battles, and Jasper was still asleep, so I was like, this is the perfect time to do it because he's sleeping. And yeah, I was like, all right, gotta go do them all.
So I logged into the game today because I needed to drink coffee. So
Yeah.
there's this weird trend. So dog's 3 years old, and after about 4 o'clock in the morning, if Lindsay or I roll over too heavy, he assumes that means we're getting out of bed. So he immediately gets up and he sits there because that means I get to go to the bathroom. But more importantly, when I go to the bathroom, when it's dark outside and I come inside, I get a treat.
Yes. My dog does this too.
Yes, yeah. Like he gets his medicine first thing in the morning. So it's treat time is where that comes in. For me, I start my day with a cup of coffee in Galaxy of Heroes. And when those two things don't align together, like I don't know how to function as a human being.
If I don't do my routine in Galaxy of Heroes, my whole day is I got tagged today. I didn't get tagged, but I got tagged today because I didn't finish tickets on Professor X. And I was like, I did not do my routine properly today. What the shit?
I do while we're talking about this, and I've got to delay a little bit. I've got to find out, and I forget who sent me that. Because I nope, hang on. This is awesome. Ah, here we go. So I'm gonna so had a why I logged in yesterday. This is relevant to this. After complaining about territory battles last week, Andrew, a listener of the show, reached out to me and gave me a suggestion on the YOLO mission, and I got a chance to try it out. And it was phenomenal. Andrew, thank you so much. So what he talked about was for the YOLO mission in the middle on day two, it is Slicker, Crew, YOLO, and really it's two other characters. He uses Red Trooper and Hux. I didn't have Hux, so I use like Phasma and I think First Order Officer. But the whole idea behind it is it's just like Secrets and Shadows. You target the Stormtrooper with basics. So you don't want to kill anybody. You just want to delay it out as much as possible because they all have built-in counter and they really can't do enough damage to take out Crew. So he starts building up that huge health pool and he's healing like 500, 1,000 hit points per. And then when you roll over into the next phase, they can't kill him. And it takes, I think it took me, I don't know, 7 to 10 minutes, but it was once you get it set up, which to get it set up is not that hard. I think he did suggest that you might want to take out Range Trooper just because he keeps putting protection up on things when you want to be done. But I turned on auto and just let it run for a little bit. And yeah, it was so smooth to get it done. So I was really excited to do that yesterday. It worked out, Andrew. Thank you very much. Shared with a couple of folks in the guild and a couple other people replicated it. It was great. So yeah, thank you very much for that.
Fantastic.
So,
I like
but
it.
yeah, that was why I logged in yesterday. Today it's just primarily coffee and I like Rise of the Empire. I was looking forward to playing today. So
And it's also Conquest week, so I got to do my
yes.
first Conquest refresh in the morning.
Yeah. Get it done, move it forward.
Okay, let's look at the fleet meta because we had a Leviathan event today.
We did.
Guess who still does not have a 7-star Leviathan? It's me.
This is why we are going to get a fleet meta ship this year, and it is going to 100% require that ship because CG's like, I can't believe we are almost a year in and we have people that don't have this thing done yet.
Bragging
So,
about not
yeah.
having it done. I think I need like 7 more months
Okay.
if I don't refresh. We
And we actually saw a change.
did.
Leviathan's up to 73%, so it picked up a couple of points.
Crazy.
So we as oddly enough, Executor still is, I guess Executor's 11, Profundity's at 9, so they drop down as well. So yeah, we're starting to finally see that shift towards 80% of the Profund or the Leviathan, and yeah, it's moving.
Yeah, so I guess we will get a new meta. if we must.
I do find it funny actually looking at the character meta that Lord Vader is currently the top of the list.
That is kind of funny.
Yeah. For as much as he's, you know, he's terrible, he is currently sitting at the top of the arena meta right now by 16%, so a wide margin over
Ma'am.
Leia.
Okay. Uncle Owen's Moisture Farm. Because we gotta go there and talk about who and what we are currently farming in game, because everyone knows work comes before going to Tosche Station to pick up power converters. So, what are you working on?
You know, it's Bane. That
Spain.
that's what I'm working on. It's making sure I've got everything to go for him. I had talked myself into taking him to Relic 9 today
Okay.
because he's got, you know, that attack that's based off of max hit points.
Yep.
And then when you were talking about the map and where the lines are, I realized that where we stop at Haven, I only need him at Relic 8, so I'm not going to take him to Relic 9.
There you go.
There's no reason to go there now. So, yeah, that's what I'm working on at this point.
Okay, that's fair.
I did take Plo up to Relic 8 today because I started running into Relic 9 IG-11s in GAC
Oh my
for
gosh.
fleet. So, and I really like that counter. I really like that Plo counter of the Executor, triple
Yep.
attacker Executor. So I want to be able to keep doing it. So I took Plo up to Relic 8 so that I could maintain the speed race.
I mean, that's valid.
Yeah.
That's a valid thing, so I can't fault you for that at all.
About you?
So I'm still farming the bow requirements.
Yeah.
I'm getting super close. I need like 12 shards of Paz. I'm not even refreshing Paz anymore because he's so far ahead of
Yeah.
the other ones that there's no point. I need like 40 something of IG-12 and I think 60 of Beck.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
I have pretty much all of the gear needed for the three of them. I think I need roughly 40 Mark 6 med pack thing, whatever they are. And 40 Mark 7 frisbee looking tosser
Okay.
things. And that's also the gear for Bane. So I've been working on the gear for Bane, plus the gear for those three characters, plus the relic materials to take them to Relic 7 each.
Got it. Yep.
So the choke point, no surprise, obviously signal data, not that bad though. I'm should be able to be just fine. I need a ton of bronzium and
Yeah.
carbonite and all that junk. So,
I think I
yay.
didn't look at the data mines. But I believe next week is when we see the 500 crystal
Oh, good.
mod packs. I think that's next week, just based because they typically come back once a month, and I think it's the second week of Conquest is when they're coming in.
That would be great, and that makes me feel really good about not refreshing for
Yeah.
Leviathan.
Yeah.
Because I can
Something I
just,
really want to use.
yeah, throw my crystals over there
Yeah.
instead.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I feel good. I feel like I'm gonna get Bo the next time she comes around. Huh. Better not be in like 3 4 months. Like, that's not gonna be funny, CG. So I feel good though. And then and obviously like Bane will be unlocked in like a week and a half, so it'll be
Yeah.
great.
I want to get Bane off the books. It's one of those, it just feels like it's been sitting there forever, and
Yeah.
I want to get him into the game and see what he can do from that side. So, unfortunately, I unlock him at the same time as everyone else. So
Yeah,
it will be
exactly.
my problem as much as it will be everyone else's problem when it shows up in the game. So I don't like that.
Yeah, that's not a fun thing. Oh well. But yeah, that's basically it. And
That's it.
then it's straight to, I guess, Gungans.
Yeah. I'm trying to find if there's an actual reason to farm or to even like soft whale on stop. And I don't think there is.
The
I
raid.
think yeah, and it's I think that by the time that the raid rolls around, he will have been in, on the
Yeah.
node for an extended period of time. So
I don't think you would need
yeah.
to do it. You could farm them, get them 7 stars before.
Yep.
I don't think the raid is coming before July.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
So I think you're in the clear.
And it's one of those I need you have to spend energy every day.
Yep.
So he's gonna go on a node and we'll figure out where it goes from there.
Yep, absolutely.
Although if they put him on like a 20 energy hard fleet node,
Ugh. Like
I'm not doing
IG-12.
that. I'm not doing that. That's a bridge too far.
Yeah. But I mean, you would be able to get a couple shards from shipments still and speed it up. Yeah. Well, I think that's it
Think that's it.
of all the news that they finally gave us. So now we'll be in for another like radio silence.
I want to talk some smack for a minute,
Ooh.
just real quick. We got through a road ahead, like read the thing, read a character kit, all of this detail in less than 2 hours, and Solo and Xerath can't seem to get that show in under 2 hours, and they seem like it's a little bit like Seinfeld. They kind of talk about nothing for 2 hours. I think that we're pros and they're not. That's really what this comes down to.
We've gotten to the point and we're concise. And
The
that's how
best
it
part
is.
about talking garbage at the end of a 2 hour podcast is no one's really listening this far in, so no one will actually hear it.
No one will know. It'll be fine. I'm impressed we did that in under 2 hours because I
I
feel
am
like
as
that was
well.
a long road ahead.
Yes, it was.
But it's all good.
And I guess with that, thank you all for joining us this week. That ought to do it. And until next time, Chewie, we're home.